We begin the current daf Masechet Kedushin daf Samach Tes. Begin 5 lines down for the top of the Yamak. The Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Again, continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah, which one of the things discussed was that of a mamzer. One of the categories we described was that a child could be considered a mamzer when it's born from a prohibited marriage where there was a chiv of karas. Then Kedushin is not teifis and the child's going to be a mamzer. So that, as we're going to quote the pasuk later on, the pasuk in Devarim Chav Gimel says that lo yavam mamzer b'kal Hashem, a child, this child that's a mamzer, can never come into the Jewish people forever, for eternity, for all his descendants. Gam derasiru lo yavam b'kal Hashem. Even this 10th generation from this mamzer, they all take this deficiency from their grandfather who is a mamzer, and forever they cannot enter into the Jewish people. Now, that's what our Mishnah comes to address. That Reb Tarfon Naimi, he says, Yechaylin mamzerin li tahir. There is an opportunity, there is an ability for a mamzer to purify himself from the invalidation of his descendants, that his children should not be mamzer. Ketzad, how is that possible? The pasuk seemingly tells us that forever they are mamzer. So that's what Reb Tarfon says, that's by regular marriage of a Jewish man and a Jewish woman. But there's a way out. Mamzer shenasa shivcha. If a mamzer marries a non-Jewish maidservant, havlat evet, the child's actually a slave and not a mamzer, because as we learned in the previous daf, when one marries a shivcha or a nachris, the child takes after the mother, and therefore he's like a regular non-Jewish man, where in this case of a shivcha, he's like a slave. Shicharoi, then when the master frees him, nimtza haben, ben chayrin, turns out that the child is a regular free man, which happens any time that a non-Jewish person is taken as a slave, where when they become a slave, they have certain mitzvahs, even the men like women. And then when they become free, they become full-fledged Jewish people, like a total conversion. And therefore his son, who was a slave after his mother, when he's then freed, he's like a regular Jewish person and allowed to marry into the Jewish people. And therefore, there's not going to be the psul of mamzerus. Now, Rabbi Yezayim, he disagrees. He says, actually, that option that Reb Tarfon is saying, where the mamzer is going to marry a shivcha, the child, hariz eved mamzer, is actually going to be two things. It's going to be a mamzer, because you don't lose that even though you marry a shivcha, and an eved to boot, where he's also going to be a slave because he takes after his mother, which, as you might well explain, the reasoning for Reb Eliezer, why that is. Now, Ibai Elhud had the following question. Reb Tarfon, that he gave this option in the Mishnah, l'ketchila kamar, did he say this initially? In other words, that a mamzer is permitted to marry a shivcha? What that means to say is, although the pasuk tells us, lo'yir kodesh, where it's learned out elsewhere, and that's actually the Aramaic interpretation, that says that he shouldn't marry a shivcha, a Jewish person is not allowed to marry a shivcha, is Reb Tarfon telling us that's only by a Yisrael kosher, by a regular Jewish kosher person, that's a regular Jewish man that's allowed to marry Jewish women. But that does not apply to a mamzer, and that he holds that a mamzer does not have that iser of lo yeh kodesh, that he's not allowed to marry someone forbidden like a shivcha. And therefore he's saying, so go ahead, so a mamzer could do this. This is just a very easy option. A mamzer is allowed to marry a shivcha, and then the child, after the shichur, will be a regular Yisrael. Oidi evet kamar, or as the Gemara, was Reb Tarfon just saying after the fact. In other words, if a mamzer goes ahead and marries a shivcha, although he's not allowed to, but then the child's going to be a kosher Yisrael. But like a tchila, of course he cannot, because a mamzer is ultimately a Jewish man. And the Torah says in the Varmach of Gimel, lo yo kadesh, which as we said, the Aramaic translation is, lo yisav gavra begaimer, that a Jewish man should not marry a shivcha. And the reason being is because why is that called kadesh, from the word of separated, because a shivcha in halacha, in regards to marriage, is like a behemoth. And her bias are hefker and totally separated from a Jewish person, like having cohabitation, copulation with an animal. And therefore, that would apply seemingly to mamzer too. It's just saying, after the fact, if he does it, then the child's not going to be a mamzer, but it's not allowing it initially. So what's halacha? Is he saying a mamzer is allowed to, and therefore it's a great option? Or he's saying, if he does it, although it's violating an iser, but then his child will not be a mamzer. So the Gemara says, Tashma, let's bring a raya, where in the Braisa, Amr Lili Reb Tarfon, they said to Reb Tarfon, Tiharta Esa Zcharam, your option that you said, oh, there's a way out of Mamzeris, passing down to the generations, where you can marry a Shifcha, so they said to him, you purified the males, in other words, when the male is a Mamzer, where he can go to somewhere where they don't recognize him, he'll say, ah, oh, I'm a slave, they'll marry him off to maidservant, no one's going to protest, because they'll assume that what he's saying is true, and then he'll have a child from that shivcha, and then the child's going to be a full-fledged Jew and not a mamzer. But they said to him, you didn't purify the women, you didn't help them at all. And the reason being is because a woman wouldn't do that. Just leave her hometown, find different options of clandestine types of marriages, which is a lie and a fake and a facade, and no one's going to protest. A woman wouldn't go ahead and do that. So therefore they said, like, you really, your idea only helps if the man's a mamzer, but if a woman is a mamzeris, it's not really going to help her. Now, so the Gemara proves from the, obviously, Reb Tarfon was giving, well, his option was only after the fact, and not initially that a mamzer is allowed to marry a shivcha. Because v'i amr l'ketchila kamer, if you would say the Reb Tarfon's option was even initially, so then, since no one would protest for a mamzer or a mamzeris to marry a shivcha or an eved, so mamzeris nami tins of la'avda. So why are they saying that you only help for a mamzer, not a mamzeris? What does that mean? She doesn't have to go ahead and fake and lie and fake identity and say I'm an eved. Or what do you mean? Just say clearly you're a mamzeris. And mamzeris is allowed to, according to this interpretation, if you said it was a getchila, to marry a slave. Because the isra of lo yikadish is only on a full-fledged Jewish person, not a mamzer. So obviously, says the Gemara, must be that because actually, like, getchila you're not allowed to. It is a prohibition. They wouldn't let her marry unless she faked. And she wouldn't do that. And that's why it only helps for the zacharim and not in the kavis. So the Gemara says, no, it's not a raya. Could be that actually you're allowed to leketchila have a mamzer marry a shivcha. And so too, the same thing would work with a woman. So why doesn't it help for the women? Because for a different reason. Eved ein lo chayis. A slave doesn't have yichus, doesn't have the child, doesn't take after the father, as the pasuk says, as we quoted this in the previous daf, im hachamar, which means to say there are am hadoim lachamar, there are people, the Canaanim, the non-Jews, which are similar to donkeys, in other words, just like an animal. The child doesn't take after the father, there is no yichus, there's no relationship, there's no association over there. So too, even if we let her leketchila to marry an eved, doesn't make a difference. It wouldn't help her whatsoever, and that's why we're saying that you helped for the zecharim, but you didn't help in the kavis, because even if leketchila it would be true, but it doesn't help her anymore, because it's still going to take after her, because it can't take after the father. Whereas by the mamzer, it's actually the other way around. Since it does take after the mother, as we see, Aisha v'ledeo t'ledaneo, we brought different sources for that, and therefore, since it will take after the mother and not after him, then the child that he has from the shivcha is not going to be a mamzer. So again, there's no raya. We could say that it is even leketchila. So the Gemara says, Tashma, let's bring a raya from the following incident. Dishbazichne de Reb Simloi Mamzer Hava. The host of Reb Simloi was a Mamzer. Now, V'amalei, Reb Simloi told to his host, he says, look, I'akdamsach, if I had known you before you got married, Tartinu Livnach, I would have purified your sons, I would have given you an idea to get married in a way that it would purify your children, that they would be able to marry into the Jewish people. Now that you're a Mamzer and you married a Jewish woman, now it's stuck forever, your generation is all going to be mamzerim. So that's what he had told him. So says the Gemara, I amit b'shleim l'ketchila, if you say that initially it's permitted for a mamzer to marry a shivcha, there's no isser even. So shapir, it makes sense that what would he have told him? He would have told him to take a shivcha, and then that would have been a way of getting around the problem of mamzeris. Eli I amit d'yavid, but if you would say that it's only after the fact, my niu, what would he have told him? He wouldn't have told him to do an isser, to violate Torah law, which is prohibited for any Jewish man, including a mamzer, to marry a shivcha. So obviously, if he would have given him an idea, what idea would have been to marry a shivcha. Obviously, it's mutter, even like a tchila. So I think Mar says, no. Actually, you could say that it's only permitted after the fact for a regular Yisrael. But the mincively eitz of Amalei, the idea, the counsel he would have given him, would have been that he would have told him, zil gonoiv, go and steal. Now, when the person steals and he doesn't have money to pay back, v'izdabim be'ebed ivri, the court then sells him as a Jewish slave to a Jewish master. Now, the halacha is by ebed ivri, which is in the beginning of Parashat Mishpatim, he's permitted to have a marriage with the shivcha, with the non-Jewish maidservant. Because that's halacha. When the courts sell him, his master is allowed to give him a shivcha kananus to have beer with. In contrast to when he sells himself, and that's why the Gemara said, that's why he would have told him to steal, because if he would sell himself, then that wouldn't permit him to shivcha kananus. Only when the courts sell him, then he's allowed to have a marriage with the shivcha kananus. So again, that would have been a counsel that would have gotten around it. He would have been able to, now permittedly so, have a marriage with the shivcha kananus, because that's a unique halacha of Eved Ivri. Now, as Rashi points out, the Gemara could have asked, same thing as we mentioned before, he would not have given him counsel to violate a sin of theft. Rather, that would have been a good question, but there's a different question that the Gemara anyways asks that says that this is not a good of answer anyway. But the truth is, Rashi says, because the Gemara could have answered for that question, it says, you're right, it wouldn't be talking about that he told him to steal to get sold because he couldn't give an idea to an avera of stealing. But then the Gemara would have then just answered to that question that it would be talking about that he sold him, that he could have told him to sell himself as an eved ivri, because that would be going like Rabbi Eliezer, who says on Daf Yudaldim Abayz that actually not only by Machur Bezdin but even Mechur Atzmoy the master could give Meshech L'Knanis. So basically that's what the Gemara is saying. It's no raya. It could be that actually it's not like a tchila. So what idea would he have given him? He would have given him an idea to be sold as an eved ivri, which that would be even like a tchila permitted to marry a Shevch HaKnanis. Now the Gemara, however, asks on this, U'bishnei d'reb simloi eved ivri mihava? How can you say that, no, a mamzer maybe is not permitted to marry a shivcha l'ketchila. So what idea would he have given to initially do before he would have gotten married? You're saying that it would have been to be sold as an eved ivri. Problem is, how could that be? In the days of Reb Simloi, was there even the halach of eved ivri? But the master says, and this is brought in Masechtas Erichin, ein eved ivri noyig, the halacha of a Jewish slave is only, the halacha only applies, el bezman shayevul noyig, only when the halachas of yevul apply. And the reason for that is because you have to be able to apply what the pasuk says for the eved ivri who wants to stay on longer, that achnas hayevul yavad imach, it only works only up until the year of yevul. So it has to be at a time when yevul could free him. Now, already from the times of the second Beis HaMikdash, the halachas of Yevul didn't apply, for sure, later on, in the days of the Amiram and Reb Simloi, so how could that have been an option? So the Gemara says, you're right, Allah Shemamina, rather we must infer that Reb Tarfon, like a tchila, kama must be, if Reb Tarfon was saying, I would have given you an idea, what idea is there? Not an idea of being sold of Eved Ivri, because there was no halacha of Eved Ivri. And if he's saying that initially he would have given him an option, obviously the halacha of a mamzer marrying a shivcha is even initially allowed. Shema minah, we can infer that Reb Tarfon's halacha is even initially a mamzer could get out of it by marrying a shivcha. He doesn't even have an iser of loyi kadesh regarding his marriage of a shivcha. The Gemara concludes, Rabbi Yehuda Meshmul, halacha Reb Tarfon, halacha is like Reb Tarfon, that like our Mishnah said, Yechil mamzerim litar. Mamzerim could purify their descendants by initially taking in marriage a shifra. Now, however, as our Mishnah quoted Rabbi Eliezer, he disagreed. He said, Hareza Evan mamzer, he says, doesn't purify. You're actually, the child's still a mamzer, and now additionally, he's a slave. So, Rabbi Lazar, the Amay Rabbi Lazar says, my time at Rabbi Eliezer. What's the reason of Rabbi Eliezer in our Mishnah? It says, because the Amakra, because the Pasuk says in the Varm, this is what we had mentioned before, this is in the Varm Chav Gimel, it says in the Pasuk, Layave Mamzer Bekal Hashem, a Mamzer is not allowed to enter into the assembly, marry into the Jewish people, Gam, although he is a Jewish person, Gam Der Asiri, even up to the 10th generation, Layavai, he shouldn't come, Loi, to him, that's the word that the Gemara is addressing for Eliezer, Bekal Hashem, into the assembly of the Jewish people. So what does it mean when it says lo yovei loy bekal Hashem? It just said lo yovei bekal Hashem. Loy is coming to tell you halach achar pesuloy. You go after his psul. In other words, in all circumstances, we're going to find and trace it all the way back up. If there's any blood of mamzeris, that's what it's going to remain with. So although, yes, generally when you marry a shivcha, it goes after the mother and he's going to be an eved, still you retain the psul of mamzeris. That is tainted forever, no matter where it's coming from. Now, but Rabbanan, who, like Reb Tarfon in the Mishnah, who disagree with Rabbi Eliezer, Hahu be Yisrael Shunas Mamzeris. That loy that's coming to say that you go after Psuloy, even though you would think maybe he would not go after the Mamzeris part, that's not a reference to a Mamzer that marries a Shivcha, because that you do lose the Mamzeris. But that's talking about when the Jewish man, who is untainted lineage, marries a Mamzeris. The woman is a Mamzer. Where Sogatay Techemina, I would have thought to say, the Pasuk tells us, and this is Bamidbar Perek Dalet. The Pasuk says that lineage goes, the family goes after the father's household. You take after the father. Now the father is Yisrael Gomer. So you would think that therefore he would be not a mamzer the child and rather take after the father. That's what Asaloi Afke, that's what Loi comes to teach according to the Reb Tarfon, that it comes to exclude and say that no, since one of the parents who are both Jewish is a mamzer, even if it's the mother, he's going to take after the Muslim mamzeres. But regarding, again, the shifcha, then he loses the mamzeres. Now, Rabbi Eliezer, but according to Rabbi Eliezer, he says, no, lav avagav the chasim isn't even though it's written, as you just said, even though usually, when you have two Jewish parents, who does the child take after? Takes after the father, and yet you agreed, also loy afke, that the word loy comes to say that, no, it's like psula, it's coming to say that, even though it's usually another way, but it's coming to exclude it and say he's still going to be considered a mamzer. So says Rabbi Eliezer, he takes it further. He says, Hachanami, same thing is even when the mamzer marries a shifcha, avagav tachsiv, even though it's written in the pasuk. Ha'ich abiladeh tiladeneo, that the woman and her child goes to her master. In other words, he takes after the mother. So that's where you're coming from to say, like Rabbi Tarfon, that's why he's only an eved and he loses mamzeres. But also, Loi Afke says the same thing, your logic that you say regarding the halacha of the Mishpachesim, the Besavaisam, that Loi excludes it. I say the same thing regarding Isha Viladeha, that Loi excludes it and says that he's still going to hold on to his title of Mamzeris because of his father that's a Mamzer. Now, but Rabbanan disagree, and the reason why they make a division between the halacha of, let's say, when the Yisrael marries a Mamzeris, where it will have some of the mother, even though it usually takes after the father. In contradistinction to the halacha over here, marrying a shivcha, is because kovlad b'mei shivcha kananis, any child in the womb of a non-Jewish maidservant, kovlad b'mei behemadom, is like a child in the uterus of an animal, where, in other words, as we said, that it doesn't have any yichus, any association with the father whatsoever, where just like an animal wouldn't relate to the father, so regarding the shivcha kananis, doesn't relate to the father whatsoever, and that's why they disagree and say that in such a case, even though the father is a mamzer, it will not take after the father and will be totally an eved. And that's why, as Reb Tarfon had said, Yechayle mamzer and litar, they could purify themselves. Hadnu l'cho eimeh, we shall return to you, the third parak of Masechtas Kedushin, parak eimeh. With that, we begin the fourth parak in Masechtas Kedushin, and the last one, parak asara yuchsin, which the title of this parak, which is the topic of this Mishnah, continues on the theme that we spoke about in the previous Mishnah, is regarding the different types of relationships and lineage and ancestry that there is regarding the Jewish people. So the Mishnah begins by saying, Asar yuchsim olam mebavel. There were 10 different levels of yichus, of categories of lineage that were in the Jewish people, that when they left from the diaspora, from the Churban Bayis region after the first destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, they spent 70 years in Bavel. Then Ezra took them up. So there were 10 different classes and categories that went up from Bavel. Now the Gemara is going to explain what this part of the Mishnah is teaching us, is that the families of Bavel are miyuchasis, meaning they're from pure lineage. Because what Ezra did, he took all the psulim, as we're going to count many different invalidating types of categories, he took them all with him to Eretz Yisrael, and he left only the pure ones in Bavel. So there were 10 different classes that were taken from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. They are Kahani, Leviya, Yisraeli. Those are the three different types of families of pure Jewish people. Then there's Chaloli, which are Kahanim Chalolin, which they're born from when his father is a Kohen and the mother is forbidden to his father. So that's from Psulikuna, the child is a Chalol. Geri v'Charuri, Gerim are converts, and Charuri are those slaves which are Meshuchar, which they're freed. Mamzeri Nesine, or Mamzer, as we mentioned previously, regarding when there's a marriage with an erva of Chiv Krisis, and the Sini are the people from the Givonim, who they circumcised themselves in the days of Yeshua ben Nun, which the Gemara Nivamis, Daf Ayin Ches Amud Beis, tells us that David made a gzer on them that they shouldn't enter into the Kila of the Jewish people. Shtuki v'asufi, which the Mishnah is going to explain, what is Shtuki and what is a Sufi. These are the 10 different classes of Yichus that were taken out from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. Now the Mishnah categorizes them in different ways how they're allowed to marry each other. So Kahani Levi Yisraeli, Mutar and Lovi Zebazeh, a Kayin Levi Yisrael, male, female, they're allowed to marry each other. Now, Levi Yisraeli, Chaloli, Geri V'Charuri, Mutar and Lovi Zebazeh. So the Leviim, Yisraelim, Chalolim, Gerim, which are the converts, and Charurim, and those which are freed, they're permitted to intermarry with each other. Now, however, what was left out of that are Kahanim, because they're forbidden to marry Chalala, which the Torah explicitly says forbidden to marry converts and Charuri, because as we said, Chalala, there's a law in the Torah. Moreover, a Giyaris, a convert female, and Meshacharis, who is freed, their Chazaka, their presumptive state, is that they're a Zayna, because they don't have the same laws as types of morals as a Jewish person. Therefore, we assume that they had forbidden relations before they converted, before they were freed, and therefore, since they would consider them a Zayna because of those relationships, a Zayna is forbidden to marry a Kain. So Kahanim are not permitted in those, but Levim Yisraelim, all those are permitted to marry each other. Next category is Geri v'Charuri Mamzeri in the Sini Shtuki v'Asufi Kulam Matarim Lava Zebezel. All those are permitted to marry each other. Now, the reason for this is because this Tana of our Mishnah holds that the Kahal of Gerim, the assembly of the converts, are not called Kahal. In other words, the Jewish people, which let's say in those classes are the Mamzerim and the Sinim, who they're forbidden to marry to the Kila, the Jewish people, they're allowed to marry the Gerim and the Harum, who Harum, the freed servants, are essentially the same type of category as Gerim, where they go through some type of a conversion process. So since they're not called the Kila, the Jewish people, although they are full-fledged Jews, so the different Mamzerim are permitted to marry those Gerim. Now, however, the Levim and Yisraelim are left out of this category because they're forbidden in Mamzerim, as the Pasuk says explicitly, Le'yov Mamzer B'kal Hashem. Now, moreover, the Shtuki and Asufi, as our Mishnah is going to explain right now, they're Suffolk Mamzerim. We don't know their status, where they were just found. We don't know who their true parents are. Maybe they had forbidden relations, and maybe that's why they were left. So, but in spite of that, they're permitted to marry Mamzerim, where you could say Mamzer is not allowed to marry into the Jewish people. Now, this person might be a Mamzer, but might not be. So it might be from the Kehilah. In spite of that, the Gemara tells us later on, Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Alef, that it's only in the definite Kehilah of the Jewish people that Lo Yov HaMamzer, that the Mamzer is not allowed to come into. But a Suffolk, a doubtful Kehilah, which is what the Shtuki and the Sufi are, the Mamzer is allowed to marry into. And therefore, this category of Geri, Haruri, Mamzer, Nesini, Shtuki, Vasufi are all permitted to intermarry. Now, the Mishnah qualified and said, Ve'elehim Shtuki, who are these classes of what's called Shtuki? So that's Koshu Makris Imai Ve'ina Makris Aviv, where he recognizes his mother. He knows who his biological mother is, but he doesn't know who his father was, which the reason why he's called a Shtuki is because when he calls that person, he says, Daddy, his mother says, shh, silences. That's what Shtuki is, silences him because we don't know who Daddy is. So that's called a Shtuki. So again, it's a Suffolk Mamzer. We don't know who is the father, what was this relationship, if it was someone that was a forbidden that would have created a Mamzer, where there was no condition being typhus in the Chiv of Karas, so therefore it's a Suffolk Mamzer. And so to Asufi is called Shenesev Menashuk, when they found a child in the street, where they don't recognize his father or his mother, and that's what's called Asufi, from gathered in, where we don't know who his parents whatsoever. Again, it's also a situation of a Suffolk Mamzer. Now, the Mishnah tells us, Abishol ha'yukar l'shtuki beduki. He would call, instead of calling the shtuki, which we just described who he is, shtuki, as in silencing, he would call beduki, the one that's inspected. And the Gemara will explain why he gave it that terminology. Now, the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah that said, Asur yuchzim olam abavl. As we said, there were 10 different classes of yichus, of lineage that came out of Babel. So the Gemara first asks some technical questions on the wording of the Mishnah. My area the Tani Olu mi Bavel. Why does the Tani of the Mishnah say that there were 10 Yuchasim that came up from Bavel? Nisni Hochul Eretz Yisrael. Let it say that went to Eretz Yisrael. Why say came up from Bavel? Say that they went to Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara tells us Milsa Agav Orchi Kamashman. It's teaching us something incidentally, meaning while he's coming to tell us this halacha of the Yuchasim, at the same time he tells us a chidush regarding how he says the terminology, which teaches us that Eretz Yisrael is higher than Bavel. Where Kedetan, like we learned in the Braisa, the Pasuk in the Varam says, "V'kamta v'alisa elamokim," you will get up and you will get up and you will go up to the place Asher Yivcha Hashem Lekecha, which Hashem your God chose, which is in by the Beis Hamikdash. Melamet Beis Hamikdash gevoyim mikol Eretz Yisrael. This comes to teach that the Beis Hamikdash is higher than all of Eretz Yisrael. Because it's saying that wherever you have, and you have to have judgment, you have to go to the courts, you go to the high courts, which was by the Azara, by the Beis HaMikdash. So it says a terminology of going up. So you see the Beis HaMikdash is higher than the rest of Eretz Yisrael. And Eretz Yisrael, Gevayim HaKol HaRatzis, and Eretz Yisrael is higher than all the other lands. Which, again, that's what the Tana of the Mishnah is incidentally teaching us, which is Olu Mebovel. You have to go up from Bavel to go to Eretz Yisrael. Now the Gemara asks, however, on this source, from the Braisa, I could understand that you're learning out from this Pasuk that the Beis HaMikdash was higher than the rest of Eretz Yisrael, where because the Pasuk is actually talking about Eretz Yisrael. Because that's what the Pasuk says over there, as we continue in Tamid Beis, it says when you have Divrei Rivos Bisharecha, that when you will have words of dispute in your gates, which is a reference to the land of Eretz Yisrael, V'kamta V'alisa, you'll get up and you will go up, which, yeah, that teaches you that the Beis HaMikdash was higher than the rest of Eretz Yisrael. Because it's telling you that no matter what side you're coming from, when you're going up to the Beis HaMikdash, it says, V'alisa, that you'll go up. So we understand that. But Eretz Yisrael, Gevayim HaKol HaRatzis, where do you know that Eretz Yisrael is higher than all the other lands, which is what you're telling us that Tana, the Mishnah, is teaching? So I think Mar says, like it says the Pasuk in Yirmiyah, It says, L'chein, and therefore, Hine yom im boim nom Hashem. Behold, days are coming, says Hashem. Lo ya'amar oit chay Hashem. It will not be said anymore that long live Hashem, asher helas b'nei Yisroel me'eretz Mitzrayim, that took of the Jewish people from the land of Egypt. Ki im chay Hashem, rather by the life of Hashem, asher helav asher hevias b'nei Yisroel me'eretz Safen, that brought up and brought the Jewish people to the land, from the land of the north, which is a reference to Babel, which is in the north of Eretz Yisrael, umikol ha'aratzis, and from all the lands asher yedachtem sham, which I have pushed them away to. Now, so we see that from all the lands where the Jewish people and the diaspora are all at four corners of the world, and it says asher helav, that he'll bring them up. So you see from that pasuk that no matter where you are in the world, Eretz Yisrael is higher than that. And that's why you see from the pasuk, which is what the Tanna of Mishnah is alluding to, that it's alu mibavel. You have to go up. Now, but the Gemara asks another question on the Mishnah. Now, but my ear did Tanni alu mibavel. So I understand why you said alu, to go up, because no matter where you're coming from, you're going up to Eretz Yisrael. But why did it say that they're going up from Bavel? Nisni alu le Eretz Yisrael. Let it say that they went up to Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says, Misaye le Rabbi Lazar. That teaches you another halacha where it supports what Rabbi Lazar had said. Because the Amr Rabbi Lazar said, and this is what the time of the Mishnah is coming to tell us, Lo ala Ezer mi Bavel. Ezer did not go up from Bavel when they went up to build the second base of Migdash, going back to Eretz Yisrael after the first Chorban and the first Galus. He didn't leave Bavel until he made it into like a refined flour, and then he went up. So in other words, that's what the time of the Mishnah is coming to teach us with the terminology that it chose, to tell you that that was the whole purpose of what Ezra was doing, was to purify Bavel. That's why it says, Olumi Bavel, went up from Bavel, meaning that he took out all the psilas. Now the reason why he did this was because he was seeing all the intermarriage that was going up in Bavel with all the people that are really Pasul and Mamzerim and so on. Now, moreover, he saw that when he was going up to the Eretz Yisrael for the second base of Migdash, that all the sages of the generation were coming with him. Now, there wouldn't be anyone left in Bavel to be busy with this, to inspect regarding Yichas, to make sure that they don't have all these psulim entering to the Jewish people left in Bavel. So what he did was, he went and he separated all the psulim, and he took them with him to Eretz Yisrael. Now, the generation that was with Ezra, they saw this separation, and they recognized who he's separating, that they're taking up to Eretz Yisrael, that therefore there was no concern that they're going to intermarry now in Eretz Yisrael, because they know the psalm that are coming up with them. And moreover, even the later generations, there was no concern, because as the Gemara tells us later on, the Af'ayin Vav Mabez, there was the Lishkas HaGazas, there was the Beis HaMikdash, which that's where the high court was, where there were people that were involved in figuring out the yichus of the Kohanim and the Levim every single day, and therefore they would be careful in who the psulim are, so therefore he felt safer taking up the psulim to Eretz Yisrael. That's why it says, Olu mi Bavel, to say that he took them out of Bavel, to say that he left Bavel like a soilus nekiah. Now, continuing on this discussion, the Gemara says, Itmar, it was taught, that Abaye Amar, he says, Olu. When our Mishnah said that they were alu mibavel, meaning ma'aleim tanan, that we learned in the Mishnah that they went up by themselves. I mean, the psulim went up on their own. The Ravam, he says, no, helim tanan, that you should read in the Mishnah that it says that they forcefully took up, Ezra forcefully took up all these psulim, amzerim and the sinim, took them all up to Eretz Yisrael. Now the Gemara explains, v'kemifigli b'Rebbe Laza, they're arguing on this halacha of Rebbe Laza that we just quoted. The Amr Rebbe Laza, Rebbe Laza says, lo Ezra el mibavel, Ezra did not leave from Bavel, until he made it into like a refined flour, and then he went up, where Abaye less like Rebbe Elazar. Abaye doesn't hold of that halacha of Rebbe Elazar. He says, no, they went up on their own. They just happened to have these 10 categories. But they weren't forced. Ezra didn't make them. Whereas Rava is like Rebbe Elazar. Rava holds of Rebbe Elazar, and therefore he holds that helum tanan. No, he made them go up because he wanted to separate them, that they wouldn't intermarry into the pure people left in Bavel. That's one interpretation. Or if you want, you could say, the kule alma isla of Rebbe Elazar, that even Abaye holds of the halacha of Rebbe Elazar, that yes, Ezra went and separated the psulim. Now, but what Abaye is disagreeing with Rava is, mar savar Abaye held afrushi afrushinu, yes, that Ezra went and separated them. Now, but once he separated the psulim, now everybody in Bavel knows, oh, you're the mamzer, because Ezra pointed out who's who. Now, no one's going to want to marry them anymore. So on their own, yes, alu, on their own they went up to Eretz Yisrael so that, okay, a new place, maybe people are not going to recognize me, they're not going to know me as everyone back home knows I'm the mamzer. So therefore, it was alu me'atzma. But Amar Savabal Kachayu Asakino, but Rava held that no, not only did he separate them, he forcefully took them out of Bavel up to Eretz Yisrael where they could be under the watchful eye of the people in the Lishkas HaGazas to make sure that they don't intermarry and be pagim into the lineage of the Jewish people. Now the Gemara, however, asks regarding these interpretations. Bishlemi leman da'ama or alu. We understand according to the way Abaye has the gears in the Mishnah that he says that they went up by themselves. Now, what that means to say is if they're going on their own, no one's forcing them, which means to say that they didn't recognize them necessarily, the ones that they were going with, who's mamzerim, who's not, because it's not like Ezra has them in like, okay, you're the mamzerim group, I'm taking you, I'm taking you. They were just going on their own. So, So based on Abaye's reading, we could understand what Rabbi Huda said in the name of Shmuel, that he says, Kal ha-ratzos isa. All the lands of the world are like dough. What that means to say is that there's doubtful mixtures of psulim in the Jewish people. Like a dough where you have mixed in there yeast and water and flour and salt and bran. You have all these different things mixed in. You don't see it. You just see one big dough. So all the lands are considered like dough, which is mixtures of psulim, le'eretz Yisrael. They're considered like puzzle in contrast to the people of Eretz Yisrael, because the people in Eretz Yisrael, at least they're busy checking regarding Yichus, because they were Kahanim, they're doing the Avodah in Beis HaMikdash, so they always had to make sure that they were pure lineage, therefore they were busy with that. Now, but for Eretz Yisrael, Isa l'bavel. Eretz Yisrael, however, is considered like an Isa, in other words, they have more suffix in their Yichus in contrast to the people of Bavel, because in Bavel they were made like a refined flour, whereas the people in Eretz Yisrael, they didn't recognize the psulim that they took off, because although that they would check them, but as we said, that they didn't totally check them because it's not that, you know, Ezra had separated them from Bavel. So Bavel was the purest, but in Eretz Yisrael, they went up by themselves. So therefore, Eretz Yisrael was still a little bit inferior in regard to the yichus of the people of Bavel. But according to Rabbi that says that Ezra forcefully took them up to Eretz Yisrael, so everyone knows who he's taking. He recognized, because that's what he did. He separated them and then brought them up to Eretz Yisrael, and he did that to keep them separate. So since already everyone knows who they are, so made the Adinu. So everybody knows their psulim, and therefore everyone in Eretz Yisrael would not marry them. So the question is, so why was Eretz Yisrael Issa regarding Bavel, just like Bavel was now purified because he separated them, and Eretz Yisrael, they're also separated. So the Gemara answers, you're right. Although that first generation that Ezra took up, everybody knew that's the Mamzer family, that's the Nesinia family, because Ezra had separated them. But as time goes on, people are not so careful anymore. They didn't know anymore who, what, when, where. And that's why, although they were still careful with inspections, but it still wasn't as great, and it was still considered Isa in contrast to Bavel, where they didn't have any psulim because Ezra took them all out. So again, the Gemara continues asking. Bishlam and alu, it's very well understood according to Abai's interpretation. It says they went up on their own. Hainu dechsiv, that's what it says in Ezra, that it says Ezra was saying, Vakabtsim el hanar habo al achava, that I gathered them by the river which comes by achava. Vinach nesham yamim shleisha, that we rested over there for 3 days. Now, Vavina ba'amo ba'kahanim, says Ezra, then I looked into the people and the kahanim. I wanted to see who was here, who wasn't here, who came up with me from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. And he says, I didn't find children from the Levium. That's what Ezra said. Now, obviously you could infer that Ezra didn't know exactly who came up with him and who didn't come up with him. Now, he thought that there would be Levium Ksherim coming up with him, and however, he didn't find that. He didn't find any Levium that were fit to do the Avodah, and that's part of the penalty that he gave regarding the Maestro to the Kahanim. He only found Levium, because as our Mishnah says clearly that Levium did go with him, but he only found from those that had cut off the thumbs of their hands with their teeth. And that's what we say in Al-Naras Bavel, Eich no shir asher Hashem, they said, how could we sing the song of Hashem, where they told to Nebuchadnezzar, who told them, Shiru lo ne mishir tzien. Nebuchadnezzar says, when they took them into Galus, says, sing us a song from Tzien, from Eretz Yisrael. So what they did was they went and they cut off their thumbs with their teeth. And they said, Eich no shir es shir Hashem. How could we sing the song of Hashem al admas necher on foreign land? They didn't say, loy nosher, we're not going to sing. Rather, how could we? We don't have thumbs to play with the strings of the harp. Now, those are from those that had come up with Ezra from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. But from those which were kosher Levium, that didn't have any psulim, those, they stayed in Bavel in peace and tranquility. And they didn't come up to Yerushalayim, because going up to Yerushalayim, you had to encounter a lot of poverty, a lot of work, a lot of fear from the neighbors around. And so therefore, the Levim that came up were only those that weren't fit for the Avodah. And therefore, he says, I didn't find the Levim that could do the work that I need for Levim in the Beis HaMikdash. So it makes sense that he didn't know about this, and he only found this on his journey, because as we said in the Mishnah, according to Abaye, that it's Olu, they went up by themselves. He didn't make people come. But El Mando Mehelam, according to the one that says he forced these people to come up with him. So Hamizis Hiri. So Ezra was meticulous and careful to see who was coming up with him and who didn't come up with him. So what's he saying in the middle of the trip that he wanted to check who came, who didn't come, but he knows who's coming. So the Gemara says, no, Nehid is here with Psulim, although he was careful regarding the Psulim, and he made sure who was coming and who was not coming, but B'chshem, lo yizdar, by the kosher Jews, he didn't check to see Lekan, Levim, Israelim, and it was only in the trip itself that he was on his way up to Eretz Yisrael to see if he has Levim, and then he found that it doesn't have any kosher Levim, and therefore it's not difficult, and Rava's interpretation of Helim Tanan, that he forcefully, like Rabbi Lazar said, forcefully took a Psulim out of Bavel to make it like a Seilas Nekia. Now the Gemara continues quoting from our Mishnah, again as we just explained, that there are Sar Yuchsim that go up, that went up from Bavel, and there were 10 different classes and categories. So the Gemara explains, how do we know that all these different 10 categories actually went up to Eretz Yisrael from Bavel with Ezra? So the Gemara quotes, the Mishnah said, Kahani Levi Yisraeli. So the Gemara says, Menolim Desliku, how do we know that Kahanim, Levim, and Yisraelim all had gone up at that point in time to Eretz Yisrael? So the Gemara says, like it says the Pasuk in Ezra, it says Vayeshvu haKohanim vaLevim u'min ha'am, that they settled from the Kohan, the Levim, and from the people. VaHamashirim vaShoyarim, there's two types of Levim: there are those who close the gates and there are those who sing. VaNesinim baArim, and you had the Nesinim, which is also one of the 10 categories mentioned in our Mishnah, were in their cities. VaChal Yisrael baArim, and all the Yisraelim were in their cities. So you see Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim, and actually Nesinim all included in that pasuk at that time in Ezra, who had come up from Bavel. Then the Mishnah said, other categories were Chaloli, Geri, V'Charuri, which are Kahanim Psulim, and converts, and freed slaves. So they went as Chaloli Minolim. How do we know that there were Chalolim that had come up at that point in time with Ezra to Eretz Yisrael? So the Gemara says the Tanya, like learned the Brice, and the Gemara quotes a halacha, that from that we'll see that at that point in time there were Chalolim that had come up. Rabbi Yisrael, he says, G'doyla Chazaka. Chazaka is a very great thing, a presumptive state that something is in. The assumption that it is up until now is a very great thing, and you can rely on it in areas of halacha, although maybe things have changed right now. Shneim, like it says the pasuk in Ezra, the pasuk says, "Umimnei ha-kayanim," from the sons of the kahanim were bnei Chavaya, the sons of Chavaya, bnei Hakoitz, sons of Hakoitz, bnei Barzilai, the sons of Barzilai, asher lokach memnois Barzila hagiladi isha, that they took for themselves wives from the daughters of Barzila hagiladi. Vayikare al shemam, and that Barzila Hagiladi then became well known through them, through his son-in-laws. Now it says Ela Bigshu Ksavam Hamasyaksam. They were seeking these son-in-laws, their Ksav Yichus, as it's called, their document of ancestry, of lineage, to prove that they're kosher kahanim. Now Velo Nimtzu wasn't found. Vayigoya Lumina Kohuna, and therefore they were chased out. They were sent out from the Kohuna. That's a reference to Nehemiah ben Chachalia, who he was called by this name in Sefer Ezra. He said to them, now the Gemara in Yerushalmi explains the reason why he was called this name was because he would give the drink to the king. He was very close, high up in the government, and he had to drink it before he gave it so that he shouldn't be suspected that maybe he was trying to poison the king with the drink. So the sages permit him to drink the wine of a non-Jew, which is generally forbidden. That's why he was called Hatar Shasa. Hatar of Heter is permitted, Shasa the drinking, he was permitted to drink the non-Jewish wine. So Nehemiah said to, who was also a big leader at the times of Ezra, he said to these Kahanim that were chased out of doing the Avodah, he said, Asher lo yoichlu mikodesh HaKodeshim, that which they can't eat anymore from the Kodesh HaKodeshim, the literally translated as the holiest of the holies, Adamoid Kayin lo Urim Betumim, until there's going to be a Kayin that gets up and that will wear the Urim Betumim, which essentially is like telling somebody that you're going to, you know, when Mashiach comes, then you'll get this. Because actually now at the times of the Bayis Shein, the second Beis Hamikdash, there was no Ur Metum. Kohen Gadol didn't have Ur Metumim in the Cheshen. So essentially he was basically saying that forever, you're never really going to be having from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Now, so the inference is, from the fact that he told them you can't partake anymore from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, we could infer that he was saying that, but however, truma is not forbidden to them. Only kachay hamikdash, only like karbanis are forbidden to them. So that's what the Gemara explains. Va'amar lehem, that Nehemiah had told to them, look, Truma, I can't make forbidden to you. Now, the reason being is because in this halacha of Rabbi Yosi, Harei etem b'chas kaschem. You have your chazaka, meaning when you were in Bavel, up until you came up to Eretz Yisrael, you were always assuming, as your father had told you, that you were a kahanim. And in Bavel, you were eating truma, which is what a kohen does. And in Bavel, there's no karbanis. So, what you were had that chazaka? Now, b'maha yisam oichel megila. What were you eating in the diaspora in Bavel? B'kachya gvul. In kachim, that applies to outside of the area of Eretz Yisrael, which is only truma, which could be eaten anywhere. Afkan nami b'kachya gvul. So, said Nechemi to them, here also you could continue, based on your chazaka, to eat what you ate out of Eretz Yisrael, which again is a reference to truma. But kachim mikdash, since you have no way of proving that you're a meyuchas kayin, you can't eat from kachim mikdash. But one thing we see is that from the fact that the pasuk says vayigayalu, that they were chased out of the kahuna, obviously, in other words, they were nischalil, they were considered as chalam from the kahuna. That's where we see this category of people that came up to Eretz Yisrael at that time were chalalim, people that are psule kahuna. Now, parenthetically, the Gemara asks, now that we introduced this brisa, but Alman de Amar, according to the opinion mentioned by Sechtes Ksubas of Chavdalim Abbas, that they say Malim Mitruma Leyuchasin, that you can elevate an individual who eats Truma to the level of Yichus of intermarriage. In other words, if someone eats a kohen eating Truma in his place, you don't have to check after him to make sure if he's really an appropriate kohen for Yichus. And actually, now a kohen could go ahead and marry this man's daughter, and he could be confident he's marrying a kohen's daughter. So ask the Gemara, according to the one that says that we elevate a kohen from truma to yichus, sahani da'achal b'truma, so these kahanim, which we don't know if they're definitely full-fledged kahanim, and still nechemi let them eat truma, but also la'as koninu, but they're going to end up then elevating them to the level of yichus, so why wasn't nechemi concerned that not to let them even eat truma, although they ate it in bavel, because the problem is, if they're going to let them eat truma, they're going to be mal them li'yichus, and they wanted to keep the yichus separately, that they shouldn't become intermarried into the kosher kahanim. So the Gemara says, no, shani hasim de'reich haskasayu. There it's different. You're right, although generally they would be malah from chumla yuchsin, there they didn't have to have that concern. Because since the other kahanim who were kosher, which were not halalim, they were eating from kachim mikdash now that they're in Eretz Yisrael, and these people were nigalu from that, they were chased out from that, so they lost their chazaka. In other words, there's a recognizable difference that these kahanim are the ones that don't need kachim mikdash, and these do, so therefore they're not going to end up elevating them to the level of yichus, because generally when someone eats truma, so he looks like a regular kain. But here they don't look like regular kahanim, because they're explicitly not eating from kachim mikdash, and therefore there was no such concern. Now, but if so, the Gemara asks, then ve'elo, so since there's no concern whatsoever for these kahanim to continue eating truma like they always did, so my gedoy l'chazaka, then what's so great that Rabbi Yosi is proving how great is chazaka? What's the chiddush? What's going on? He should have just said, where do we know chazaka from? But by Rabbi Yosi saying gedoy l'chazaka, as if we're saying something, a novelty, where we'd have thought that it really should be forbidden now more than it always was before they came up to Eretz Yisrael. But still Rabbi Yosi is saying, we see that we'll still rely on the presumptive state. What does that mean, relying? They always ate truma, and that's okay. And moreover, now there's no concern about eating truma because they're not going to be malal liyuchasin, because we see they're not eating kachim mikdash. So what's the big chiddush in that you're saying how great is the chazaka that they always ate truma, so they continue eating truma? That the Gemara explains to be kara achal b'truma d'rabbanan. Back in at home originally, which they had assumed up until then before they came up to Eretz Yisrael, and that they couldn't find their proper papers to prove their kosher kahanim, they were only eating rabbinic truma, because truma only applies biblically in Eretz Yisrael. Well, the Besai, but at the end, achal b'truma d'araisa, the eating once they came to Eretz Yisrael, biblical truma, that's a chiddush. That's gedoy l'chazaka, that, okay, you know what, you were always eating truma, albeit rabbinically, you could continue eating truma, even though now you're going up to truma d'araisa. But just kachim mikdash, that you can't. Or the Gemara says a different approach. V'bayisim, if you want to answer the original question that the Gemara had asked, which was, how did Nechemi let them continue eating truma? Don't we know the halach is that you can be malah from truma liyuchsin, and they're going to end up getting confused with the kosher kahanim? So now the Gemara says, la'olam hashtanami b'drabban achol. To answer that question, we could say that truthfully, even once they came to Eretz Yisrael, they only continued eating rabbinic truma. In other words, although they're now in Eretz Yisrael, and truma is biblical, but they were only eating, let's say, the truma of fruits and vegetables, which those, even in Eretz Yisrael, are only rabbinically. But b'dayraisa, let's say regarding what's called dog and tirish v'yitzer, which is grain, wine, and oil, where those are biblical trumas, that actually they were not allowed to eat. And therefore, there's no concern because when do we elevate a kohen who we see eating truma to say, okay, for sure he's miyuchas and you can marry his daughter with the assumption that she's a bas kohen, is only midday raisa. It's only if he was eating biblical truma. When he's only eating rabbinical truma, then we don't elevate it to the status, and therefore there was no such concern to say, how did he let them continue eating truma? Now, according to this interpretation, so magidol chazaka. So here for sure the question is, what's so great about the chazaka? Originally we had answered because, okay, at least he's being elevated from rabbinic truma to biblical truma. According to this approach, you're saying he didn't even eat biblical truma in Eretz Yisrael. So what's so great about the chazaka that he ate outside of Eretz Yisrael, and now he's continuing? Of course, what would be the concern? What changed? What do we need a chazaka for? So the Gemara says, Demikara, no, in other words, we do need a chazaka. But what's so great about the chazaka to say that we would have thought it's worse off, it's exactly what it was back home in Bavel. So the Gemara says, Demikara lekle migzim mishum truma dairais. It's not true, it's actually worse off. Because originally, back home in Bavel, there was no concern that if we're letting him eat rabbinic truma, he might come to eat biblical truma, because biblical truma is only in Eretz Yisrael, and they're in Bavel. So it can't even come to, by mistake, eating biblical truma. But at the end, although now that they're in Eretz Yisrael, and if we're going to let them eat rabbinic truma, they might come to then eat which is available in Eretz Yisrael, biblical truma, even so, that was the chiddush of Gedolei Chazaka, but Rabbanu Achol, they could eat rabbinic truma, and only b'deraisa achol, only biblical truma, they're not allowed to eat. So therefore, there's no concern of mala truma liyuchsin, and moreover, but there's still a Gedolei Chazaka, because even though there could be a gezeira, we say it's okay, they could continue eating truma drabanan. Now, however, the Gemara asks, but the pasuk says, as we quoted before, that Nehemiah said to them, that they cannot partake from kodesh hakodeshim. Now, what that means to say is, b'kodesh hakodeshim with the lo yechlu. It sounds like only from the holiest of the holy things that they can't eat. Hakol midinechlu. It sounds like everything else they could eat. So, how are you saying that in this answer that they weren't able to eat even biblical truma? But seemingly, it's clearly only by the holy, real holy things like karbanas. Those are considered kaddishim, kaddish hakaddishim, that weren't able to eat. But it sounds like that even truma that's biblical, they were allowed to eat. But this approach is saying that even biblical truma, they weren't allowed to eat. But the Gemara answers, hachikama. No, this is what the pasuk is saying. Lo midi de mikri kaddish, neither something that's called kaddish, but lo midi de mikri kaddishim, neither something that's called kaddishim. So kaddish hakaddishim is not the holies of the holies. It's actually referenced to two different things, that they can't have kaddish and neither kaddishim. Loi midi de mikri kodesh, that they're not allowed to take these suspected chalolim. They can't partake from kodesh. What's that a reference to? So like it says, a pasuk in the Yikra, it says, v'chol zar lo yechol kodesh, and any non-kohen is not allowed to eat kodesh. Now that whole pasuk is talking about truma, not by kodesh. Because the pasuk there says, v'vo ha-shamesh v'tir, that when the sundown is, he becomes purified. V'achol yechol min ha-kodeshim, and then he can partake from kodeshim. That can only be talking about truma, which although there's only sundown, and if let's say he's mechusik kippurim, he still has to bring a carbon the next day to finish off his tahara process. That's only when he can partake of kaddishim. So if it's saying by sundown already he could already eat from this quote kaddishim, when it's saying over there lo yochel kaddish, must be reference to truma, and that's very well because in this interpretation it's saying that actually they weren't allowed to eat biblical truma, only rabbinic truma. And neither v'lemidi demikri kachim, neither can they partake from something that's called kaddishim, which is a reference to what kahanim get, which is the chaza and the sheik, two different parts of the breast and the thigh of a carbon shlamim, which we find elsewhere that's called kaddishim. The Amakralik, the pasuk says later on there in Vayikra, it says uvas kain kisil le'ishzar, when the daughter of a kain will be married to a non kain. So it says in the pasuk he betrumas hakaddishim lo yisaychel. She's not allowed to partake from the elevated parts of the kaddishim. Now, the master had explained, what does this mean? What is separated from the karbanis? It's a reference to the Chazav HaShaykh that her father, a kohen, ends up getting. And that is, as we continue on top of Ayin Med Alf, is what the Torah is telling you, loy soichel, that she's not allowed to eat. Which actually, as the Gemara elsewhere says, it's coming to tell us that even when she doesn't have children from the kohen that she was married to, and now she's not married to him anymore, where actually the halacha says that b'shavol b'saviyah, she goes back to her father's household, that's only to be able to continue and resume eating from truma. But she does not go back to eating from the moir min ha-kadishim, which is a reference to her father's chazav ha-sheik, which she gets when he works, does the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. So we see, at least, that the reference kadishim is a reference to karbanis, So that's what Hartashasa was telling them. You can't have neither Kaidish, which is Truma, or Kaddishim, which are Karbanis, which is the Chaz of Ashaik. Again, because although they were able to continue eating Truma according to the second approach in the Gemara, it was only Rabbinic Truma, but not Biblical Truma, and therefore that includes Kaidish. And that's why there was no concern about being Malah with Truma Liyuchsin, because they weren't even eating Biblical Truma, and the Halacha being Malah from Truma Liyuchsin is only when you partake of Biblical Truma.